today on It's Time.
Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I wonder how many times we forget that God is present with us wherever we go.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
Through the descendants of Jacob came Jesus Christ, and through him all the families of the world would be blessed. And so we have that promise. This is why we find those oftentimes boring lineages that are in the Bible, and thus begat thus and so begat thus and so. And you say, why is that in the Bible? It's boring. Well, the reason why it's in there is to show you that there is a true bloodline for Jesus Christ being our Messiah as it came through Mary. And then we find the descendants of Joseph, which gave Jesus the royal line. Though Joseph wasn't really Jesus's father, it gave him the royal line, or the ability to accede to the throne through Joseph. People oftentimes ask the difference, well, why is the two lineages in the gospel different? Because one is the lineage of Mary, the other is the lineage of Joseph. Well, why are they there? One is the bloodline to prove 100% that through you, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And number two, that he had a rightful place to accede the throne as God said he would. And so we find here, I am the God of Abraham, the father of and the God of Isaac. Now, again, we find God speaking to Isaac. We find God speaking to Abraham. Now he's speaking to Joseph as well. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now, this is really interesting here. God blessed him, and I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Isn't that a neat thing that God keeps us? Do you realize as a child of God, nothing happens to you unless God allows it? Well, you say, well, God, if you allowed this and you loved me, this was very uncomfortable and very miserable, and why did you allow it? I don't know, but God has a big plan, a lot bigger than we do. You look all the way through the Bible, if this hadn't happened, then this wouldn't have happened, and if this wouldn't have happened, then that wouldn't have happened, and that's the way it is with our life. You know, sometimes I remember I asked the Lord, I had a flat tire one time and I was belly aching and going on and on. And I remember that I took the tire in and had the tire changed. And while I was there, this guy asked me, this happened a couple of times, happened to me over a twisted off agitator in a washing machine too. But the thing is, the guy starts talking to me. He said, oh, you're the pastor of the River. And I said, yeah. And he just started telling me all of his life problems. And I was able to minister to him. And I looked at that tire with a nail in it. And I thought, you know, God, you have a way of getting us where you want us to be, no matter what it takes. Did God really care about the tire with the nail in it? No. 1,000 years from now, the tire with a nail in it ain't going to matter. But me being where I could talk to this individual about the Lord will matter in 1,000 years. You see, we're temporal in our mentality. God's eternal in his understanding concerning us. And so I really believe that as God moves us around, does these things, it's an inconvenience sometimes. Why did this have to happen? But God's got a bigger plan, because you're his kid, you're his ambassador, and God, whatever it takes to move us where you want us to be, just do it. Well, you're going to find something here interesting about Jacob. You know, we talked last week about how everybody was dirty, sneaky, thief, and everybody. You know, Rebecca comes up with the plan to steal the birthright. Jacob goes along with it. Esau, who had actually sold it for a mess of pottage, he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, didn't really own it either. And everybody's lying, everybody. And we find that even then, God still brought forth his will as exactly as he said it would be. And here concerning Jacob, you're going to see something that God makes this incredible covenant with him. It says, and I, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land, for I will not leave you literally forever until I have done all which I have spoken to you. I love this. God makes him a promise. Now, wouldn't it be great in the Bible if it read the way fairy tales go? But it doesn't always work that way. It would be really neat that then Jacob said, so be it, sounds good to me. No, he doesn't say that. Why? Because Jacob, in many ways, is just like us. You see, God just makes him a deal. You know, this is the program Deal or No Deal or whatever it was. And here God makes him a deal. Hey, I'm going to bless you wherever you go. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you back here. You're going to inherit the land. That was God's deal to him. Notice Joseph's response. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Now, I think that's good. He didn't say, surely God was in this place, like during the dream, but he said, surely God is in this place. Real quick, do you realize everywhere you go, God is? Really important to realize. God is not tied to a building on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or some other place. God is with you everywhere. David said, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to Sheol, you're there. Where can I go to get out of your presence? Really important. Where you go, the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is. Jesus said, don't marvel. He says, saying the kingdom is here or there. The kingdom of God comes within you. Why is that? Because where you go, the kingdom of God reigns. You bring, listen to this. This is not positive confession. This isn't a pie in the sky. This is right now. Where you go, you bring a piece of heaven into the circumstance. Isn't that great to know? The kingdom of God, Jesus said, comes within you. Where you go, you bring the kingdom of God. Well, notice this. He recognizes now that God is everywhere. He's growing in his faith, friends. Good news. Pray we all grow in our faith. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I wonder how many times we forget that God is present with us wherever we go. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, actually, this is where his theology fails. Because he says, how awesome is this place? No, how awesome is God? God is everywhere. He's not just, well, okay, God, I'll come back and see you next week. But notice he says, Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set up a pillar and poured oil on it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, because the name of the city had been Luz previously. Bethel. Great place. Place where God met him. It's interesting, even that when you get to Genesis 31, it was a place where God was doing things. But by the time of Kings, Bethel had become a place of pagan idolatry and every foul thing. Bethel became a nightmare. And it is interesting that many things start off like Bethel, a good thing, and because of time, it becomes corrupted and offering strange fire. Well, this is one of the problems that happened. So he says, called the name of the place Bethel because it had been previously Luz. Now, Jacob made a vow. Now, remember, God has already made a vow with him. What was that vow again? Behold, I'm with you, verse 15, wherever you go, I will bring you back to the land. I will not leave you until I've done all that I have spoken to you. Then Jacob made a vow saying, and this is where I just wish Jacob just would have said, God, you said it, I believe it, that's the end of it. But notice that is not what he says. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God, you will be with me, and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Whoa. If you do it my way, God, we got a deal. Deal or no deal, okay. Well, here's the problem. God already said, wherever you go, I'm going to take care of you. God is always better at promises, friends, than we are. God has already said, I've made a covenant with you, and now Jacob is trying to make another covenant, saying, well, if you perform for me, then you'll be my God. Now, here's what's important here. God used him to accomplish his will. This morning, I believe most of you have more faith than Jacob did. I do. You accepted Christ as your Savior. You say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with my eternity forever. Now, if I can just work on trusting you every day for my daily life, that's what we got to work on. You know, I know a lot of people like that. They have trouble trusting God from paycheck to paycheck, but they trust God with their eternal salvation being in heaven someday. And what's really more important? You being in heaven someday. So everything else would be lesser. God says, I'm going to take care of you no matter where you go. And you find Jacob trying to make a backdoor deal when God has already said, I have already said I'd do that. Notice again, then the Lord shall be my God. If you'll do this, you'll give me clothes on my back, give me food to eat, and be with me on the way, then we have a deal. You see something a little bit wrong here? But yet God used him to accomplish his will. You know, a lot of times we think as Christians, well, I'm not good enough for God to use me. I think we've all felt that. I have in my life. Because we oftentimes will focus on the failures of our life rather than God's anointing on the things that he led us into that we did for him. Friends, this morning I want you to think about something. All the things wrong you did in your past are under the blood of Christ. When we look back, we see the blood of Jesus. We look forward, we see a risen Savior. And this morning, if there's a way that we could say, God, I want to see life through your eyes, not through mine. Jacob's problem here, he was still seeing it through his own eyes. He didn't realize, though he had all these anointing and blessings in his life, he still did not realize who he was. I pray that today you understand who you are in Jesus. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And because of that reason, God brings to us something greater than ourselves, greater than our own failures. He brings himself. And God says, in spite of your failures, I'm going to still bless you and I'm still going to use you. I look at this as a very unusual thing that Jacob is trying to make a deal with God after God says, hey, I already love you. Wherever you go, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for everything. Everything in the deal that Jacob was trying to make was covered in what God had already said. If he had just said, okay, God, you got me. But then he starts making a deal with him. We don't have to make deals with God. I know a lot of people do. Well, God, you know, if you'll do this for me, I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll give $1,000 in the offering. You know, we have all these little deals we want to make with God. God just says, I love you, period. See, the appeasement was done through Jesus Christ on the cross. You always notice in the religions of the world, they're always trying to appease God by feeling beads, burning incense, wearing certain kind of clothes, selling flowers in an airport. You name it, they'll be out there doing it, trying to appease God. God's already happy with you. You know, you always think about that. You know, have you ever been at odds with somebody? Or you owed the bank some money, or you owed somebody something, and you say to yourself, man, if there was just somebody I could trust that could go and fix the problem, that could bring my case to them and explain to them that, oh, I'll pay you, I'll get it all straightened out. I need a ambassador. I need a go-between. I need somebody that's got my back that's gonna make this right with this person that's mad at me. That's what God does. That's what Jesus already did. Jesus already built. So when you get around that person that you're worried about, it isn't they're going, I'm going to get you. God goes, already taken care of. I love you. So, makes this deal. God makes a deal. I'm going to take care of you. Everything's done. I'm your ambassador. Everything's good. And Jacob is still wheeling and dealing. Okay, well then you'll be my God. God still used him. Friends, God's going to use you because you love him. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And he says, then, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. Here it's interesting, before any Levitical law talked about a tenth or anything like that, 10% or whatever, we just find Jacob saying, I just want to give you something, I'll give you a tenth of whatever I have. You know, there's a lot of abuse that has gone on in the church with offerings and ministers driving Lexuses and Rolex watches and all that kind of stuff. If that's what God has called them to do, then that's between them and God will judge them on Judgment Day. But I want to tell you something about this. First of all, Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. So where we're not to be judges, we can be fruit inspectors. So you want to look at the fruit in an individual's life or a ministry or even in your own life for that matter. That gives you a pretty good understanding if you're on the right path or not. The second thing is that I want to support where I see God's blessing at, because again, I don't want to support something that God is not behind. And so he says, surely I'll give a tenth to you. Being about your father's business. Now, always remember this, and I have found this over and over again. God does more with a blessed 90% than you will ever do with 100 or 150 or 200%. People have oftentimes said, Mike, you know where the deals are. I said, I don't know where the deals are, but I know the one who knows where the deals are. You see, God knows what you need before you ask, the Bible says. And so if there is something that I need, I can say, God, this is what I need, and I watch God supply it. Now, God does many different things the way he does that. Sometimes you'll be on your way to the store to buy something, and there'll be a yard sale sign. You'll stop, and here's a brand new one laying on the table for 10 cents instead of $20. And you walk away going, wow, God, that's awesome. How do you do that? That's God's provision. See, God knows what we need before we ask. That piece of glass you almost ran over with your car tire would have cost you $100 to get your tire fixed. You missed it. See, God knows how to protect us. God does more with a blessed 90% than we'll ever do with a full 100%. So I have no problem giving God 10%. In fact, it's really neat to give God more than that, because, again, giving is part of a Christian heart, realizing that God is the one that's shoveling it in. I can shovel it out. God keeps saying, I'll give you more. So this is a place, interestingly enough, in Malachi where God says, test me and I'll show you that it's true. You can't outgive me. Now, I don't believe we just get money anywhere. I do believe that you want to find what God is blessing. I think the Bible's pretty clear on that. And there's three ways of giving. There is tithe, there's offerings, and almsgiving. You go, what's that? Well, tithe is 10% of what we make. We give to God. Offering is above the 10%. That might be for special ministries, things like that, things that go on. Almsgiving is something that's not necessarily tied to money, but tied to you. Like, in other words, your next door neighbor broke his leg, and so you go over and you mow his lawn for him. That's almsgiving. God sees that. You give somebody something because they're hungry or whatever. God sees that. I've shared this so many times. I'm very leery now about giving people. You see people with signs up, "We'll work for food," and you go up and say, I had actually a friend out south of town here that said, "Hey, we're picking rock in the field to, the rocks keep working up, so come work in our field, we'll give you money." And the guy goes, "No, I make more money here begging." He wouldn't work for food, though his sign said he would. So I don't usually do that, but if somebody's hungry, I've done this many times, I'll take them into a restaurant or whatever, like a fast food place or something, and buy them a hamburger or whatever. If I give money, they're going to go buy drugs and buy another gallon of vino. But if I just go and take care of them, then I know that, and then while you're doing that, you share Jesus with them. But there's a lot of ways to give, and we as Christians should be giving people, because God looks for people he can bless, in turn will bless others. That's the way God works. Jacob realized that a blessing of God. He goes, "I want to give you something back." And I really believe, everyone, that we have a lot to give back to God. Begin with praying. Just say, "Lord, thank you for what you've given me." You know, I know there's a lot of things we don't have. We look at what everybody else may or may not have. We go, "Oh, God, I want that, I want that, I want that." God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, not according to our wants. Jacob was a person that we see here was a man who knew God, growing in his faith, said some pretty strange things. Previous chapter did some pretty strange things. God still used him. The point this morning is God will use you. You say, "But God, I'm not perfect." God says, "I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for you." I like that. This morning, if you've not given your life to God, and you've used an excuse, "Well, God, I'm not good enough. When I get better, I'll come to you." That's a cop-out. That's a lie. Because God says, "I'll take you just as you are," as the old song goes, "just as I am, without one reservation, without one plea." That's what it means. I'm coming to you just as I am. I'm giving you me for what I am. God, I'll take you at your word. Behold, I'm with you to keep you wherever you go. God, sold. I'll take the deal. Deal or no deal, I pray today you make your deal with God. You say, "Okay, I'm going to give you something, God, that I can't keep my life. For something I will never lose, your eternal blessing and eternal life." If you're tired of the way you've lived, maybe you spent the last 10 years and you don't want another 10 years like you just had, I just want to invite you to pray this morning. And say, "Okay, God, from this day forward, I'm going to give you my heart and give you my life, and whatever I have left is yours." And you'll be amazed what God will do with you. Not only will God use your natural abilities, but he'll use and give you supernatural abilities to be about your Father's business. So if you want to pray, let's pray. If you're listening on radio, internet, let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. I ask you to make me the best I can be for you. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me. And your blood took away all my sins. So now write my name in your book of life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to love and have boldness for you. And Lord, from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, You can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.